Bright Lights Pathfinders. We are all a bright light searching for the Pathfinder's way. Hello, I'm Kathy Cook, and I'm your host on Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock Pacific Time. That's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So listen up and tune in to Station 1 on BBSRadio.com. It's a positive power production. Unique perfection evolves. Exquisite feelings awaken, producing passion style.
Hello, I'm on the air. This is Kathy Cook, the Bright Lights Pathfinder Show. And after the show, I have a grand surprise for you. But this is the beginning of the show. I'm going to call this Bridging Wisdom. I have not prepared. As usual, it just comes out of me. But I just was thinking, Bridging Wisdom. You know, everybody has something to give to this world. And it takes a little particle of each person to bridge the gap between all things. It starts with us, and it's going to end with us. You know, the world has all the time in the world. We need to bridge the wisdom from ourselves to other things, people, places, things along the way, with our heart, not using our mind, but not what's in it for us, but what's in it to save this world and this universe of people. Because somebody sent me a little ditty, like a YouTube, but it wasn't really a YouTube, back from my shows last week. So I'm going to continue, maybe, that's what I'm going to do tonight. Continue on the show from last week, because I got several emails, and this one particular gentleman, it took me a couple of days to open it, because I'm hesitant about opening things that I don't know who they're from. And but then again, I've got a Mac. But anyway, I opened it up, and it was about trees. And it was about how the world has all the time in the world, and how what we breathe from the trees. But the trees breathe what we breathe out. Now, isn't that something? What we breathe is from the trees. And what we breathe out, the trees breathe. So therefore, it's like all the things that we produce, all the things, the air that we produce, those trees are breathing it. In the tree of life, have you ever heard my poem called Creating Misty Rain? Well, I started to write Creating Misty Rain, but it got a little fuzzled up there in the internet world where people like to mess around and they started making it a nasty name and everything like that back in the day when that little shenanigans was going on, with, you know, bothering me a little bit. But I'm going to read Creating Misty Rain. And it stated Wednesday, the 28th of November, 2007. And it's at 10:44 a.m. And rain is spelled R-A-Y-N-E. If you would like to Google search it, creating, and then a comma, misty, and then rain. I happened to set it up on one of the BBS web pages in their author thing. Well, so here it goes. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the very first existence of all that was that God intended from birth. Before the beginning was the darkness of the void and deep. God's glorious spirit moved over the waters, and he began his creation to read. God's first word was spoken, let there be, and he created the day, light, separating the darkness into the night, where the sun rises into the morning, where the evening is met. The sun is falling in the evening, and the sun to set. on the second day of creation to separate into a between. He made the expanse, called it the heavens. Thus, to be below the waters, and both feet could be seen. On the third day of creation, God spoke and gathered the heavens and the waters in their own place. He then created dry land, called earth, and the waters, sea, into their own personal space. On the fourth day, he created greater light for the day, and the stars and the moon as a dimming light, the shadow, the night's way, that shadow the night's way. And the fifth day, an expanse of the heavens. He made the creatures living, birds flying, as well as the seas. He gave his wondrous thanksgiving. And also, were seeds and plants, trees growing and the earth's ground, thus cattle and creatures roaming the earth to multiply and be more and more to be found. On the sixth day, God created man. In his own image of him, he created man and woman, and with all he created and blessed both of them. On the seventh day, God completed his work in which he had done. He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because he had rested. And then he had rested from his creation. And that is how our world began. That's how it all started. God's miracles of creation came to be. How evolving into energies became so drawn to God, and the majestic moments passed into future and present came to be. Now that's a giving precious moment. And that's a gift for you, from me, to know all of how God speaks to me. I love that poem. That's just something that I wrote. And I called it Misty Rains. That was one of my little nicks back in the day when the Yahoo Day was going on. But let's talk about it a minute. If God is moving around up there in heaven bound, and I'll say sometimes when you hear the thunder, you know, that's God moving his furniture around. But I say, Pete says this to me. He doesn't even remember saying it, and it was one of his greatest sayings. He says, I say, always come to me in the midst of the rain. And he goes, I will never steal your thunder. Now you think about it. If people would stop going around stealing other people's thunder, so that the misty rain could happen. You know, because we need that gorgeous thunder in order for the light of the lightning to strike. How many of you guys know that the lightning strikes from the ground up, from all the energy that the earth has? But you didn't know that, did you? I didn't know that till my son was in school and taught it to me. But the very existence of God's earth at the beginning was that darkness, void, and deep. Now, there's a very big void that's in the earth's sky. And we continue on the way that we're going. We're going to end up in that void, you know. People are, not anything else. Now, you know, in that video that sweet dear person sent me, and so many people have commented afterwards and sent me emails and emails and emails over last week's show. I had to listen to that show and listen to what I said. Maybe I need to reread. I can pull up what I read because it was a deep poem in deep thought. Let me do that right quick. Let's pull up last week's show's poem and see what happened. Let's see what happened. About the tree. And it was about, I'm going to have to get it, okay, so just bear with me. It's called the knowing tree. Okay? And it goes like this. It says, as one of God's wonderful creations, there is the tree. The tree of life, effortless by habit. Chapter 1, Evolving Now on the, what day was it? The fourth day? Or was it the sixth day that God, it was the sixth day that God put the plants and the seeds on the ground and the trees growing on and the earth bound. That was the fifth day. Excuse me. Gosh, I should know my stuff. The fifth day is change. All fives are change, right? That's the immense change. That's exactly what we're doing right now. We're changing, evolving into changing, changing this world. And the way we are changing it is we are cutting down exactly what we are meant to have here on this earth for our food, our shelter, our medicine, our everything, our ways of life. As a matter of fact, I was talking to my cousin Corinne today, and we were talking, I was telling her about, you know, the tree and how I believe that that's the part of the veil that we're trying to lift. And once the trees are gone, you know, they'll replenish themselves because their roots are deep. You can't just dig down into the earth and just get all the roots out of it. You'd have to dig thousands of feet to get those roots out of the system of this earth. I tell you what, because they're there. I mean, that's what holds this earth together, that and the boulders. You know, I'm a rock collector, and that's something that I've always done is collect those stones. And anyway, getting back to my story, chapter one is evolving. Behold, in bewilderment, tree reaps with pride. Why does tree reap with pride? It's good, isn't it? Because it stands stern and sturdy and strong, and it spreads itself out, and it holds its arms and limbs out, and it sways with the wind and lets some kind of electrical force and an energy force within the atmospheric breath pulls it off the field. But only, I don't study about all that astrological stuff, so I wouldn't know what causes all those all this to happen that is causing the hurricanes and the typhoons and the tsunamis and tsunamis or whatever you call it, which I predicted that one to several people a long time ago that destroyed Louisiana. One of my girlfriends was living there at the time, and I told her, I said, you know, throw this heavy to the levee. It's coming, girl. See, the Native American reservation grandmothers told me which and what was going to happen. So it wasn't really me that predicted it. It was the studying with the Native Americans that taught me so many things. Now, beholding bewilderment with pride. It's good to feel pride in a tree. Now, I learned a long time ago that the energy, that's how I learned what energy was the tree, because I could feel the energy from a tree when I would touch it. It's good to touch trees. I went out today, and I have some new trees coming up around a big tree, and I know they're not going to survive because they're going to go back down into the soil because there's not going to be enough sunshine for them. But they're there to grow up off the roots so that they can replenish the root system, you know, and go back up into the sap and become part of the trunk of the sap, the veins of the blood, and become its own branch, and then blossom out and make some limbs, and then it'll have some little blossoms on it, whatever the flowers are for the particular tree, and then it'll have some beautiful green foliage, and then some deep root foliage for the summertime, and then it'll have a beautiful fall leaf, and gorgeous colors for autumn, and then for each saltbush, you know, that we have, and then it will just fall off and rot down into the earth and rejuvenate itself, regerminate itself back into the root system of the tree. If the squirrels and other things don't harvest it for, you know, taking it around for their home. Now, you know, that mulch is just really good stuff. And also, it's just like we know that the other animals and creatures, it's just like a cow eats the grass and then uses the bathroom on the grass and eats the grass some more. And anyway, that's a whole other story. I'm very ADHD, as you all know, and very dyslexic. But thank you, listening audience, for following along, because everything connects to a dot. Now, the empowerment of the knowledge tree, the empowerment, I said, is by its own master. Now, when I write, I don't know exactly what I'm saying, and it took Medicine Walker, Kimberly, and it took Gifted Within, Lynn, and it took Sarah, my mother, it took my Uncle Ron Nordman, who composed some beautiful music that's going to be played at the end of the show, called the Swan Concerto that he made especially for the Bright Lights Pathfinder show, and he's been on the show many times before. It's taken many people, a couple of my cousins, to help me unravel this knowing truth. And I wish that, you know, I always welcome you on my show, you listening audience. So the numbers are on the front of the page, and I'm going to just continue reading and discussing this because I learn by listening to my own voice talk and listening to the energy that I gathered from you guys listening to me. Empowered by its own master. What is its own master is the earth. God created the tree, the knowing tree, the wisdom tree. Why I called it the wisdom tree back when I was a little kid, I always felt like I was hanging on a tree upside down in a right side up world. But now I realize this from talking to Corinne, my cousin. She said we're like trees, but we are upside down trees because our brains are the energy waves mostly, in the thinking process. She's going to be on the show with me, but she has some things to do because I wanted to discuss this with her one given time, but I didn't, you know, and then I went on and did some work with my uncle. But anyway, what I'm getting at is she said, our lungs are like the tree's foliage, which is true, because it has all those little bronchial tubes and little flowers in there, and it purifies. And how many of you have heard me, last class, how many of you have heard me say that we are brought here by the gift of one gift in the creation of God, which is his soul. He created us in one image, which is his soul. He gave us two gifts, the gift of breathing and the gift to reproduce, and the rest is human, man, made, and knowledge. Right? Right. So, if we are here to learn, and as soon as we gasp our first breath, so we're breathing in the mother's womb through the umbilical cord. So we're breathing through her breath, the mother's breath, which then again the tree is breathing through Mother Earth's breath. See? Huh? Woo! I'm just now catching that. Wow. Okay, so housing is Mother Earth bound to be established. That's the second sentence. Seeds from within its own core traveling, gas with fame. That's like gassing its breath. Seeds within its own core. So the seeds within our own core, you know, like our lungs, are gassing with fame to be able to breathe and to become known and to become evolved and to become, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. You know, and until we get that self-gratification out of the way and learn to get self-justification just for ourselves to become evolved and ourselves to become in the moment, in that moment, and the knowing creator to be inside of ourselves and just the heart center core of our being and not matter what a hooty-tooty-fruity of another person's going to think of us. As Terry Lynn Whitaker, that's her name, says, what you think of me is none of my business, and not what it's in it for me. You know, I could have made bukus and make a buck of money already off of all the stuff that I give out there free, but do you know I have not, and I will not, made one iota of a dime on my work. But what burns me up more than anything is somebody making a fool out of themselves and looking like a fool. Using almost the same plagiarism words as me. I didn't even know what plagiarism was till somebody told me. They said, you know, and I get all these phone calls saying, or these emails, because most of the people call me by phone saying this show or that or this person or that, you know, is almost using you word for word, even closing things like you. And, you know, it makes them look sad and pitiful and like they don't have their own identity. Now, that burns me up because I feel I want that person to excel. I want that person to be their personhood and to excel in their good God-given talents that they've got inside themselves, you know? And that's what it's all about. It's about knowing who you are. It's about the seeds inside yourself that God has planted inside your gifts, the meat of who you are, which is now the next sentence is, fast throughout our nature's laws. Now, what is our nature's law? Huh? What is it? Huh? Is nature's law not how we live by our own code of arms, especially being true to ourselves and having our real of who we are, of not being jealous of another person, helping another person, you know, the clickety-clickety-click-click-click thing, or, you know, the whispering thing, you know, about another person because that person has excelled somewhere or another. You know, that doesn't make another person look bad because another person has excelled. What makes another person look sad or bad or wrong is the gossiping or the taking another person's identity because they have to live in a lie and they have to live in a halfway world because the meat of the seed, which is sown, is only churned in its cycles for its embarkment of its own nature. We reap what we sow, as in the tree, reaping what it is sown, reproducing by way of its own germination. We can only reap and germinate by reproducing through our own seeds that we have harvested in our own selves, in the shell that is so hosting ourselves, the shell within our protection that is holding the meat of who we are inside ourselves. That is what reproduces through germination of the reaping what we sow. And that depends on the knowledge that is told for God's majestic reign. Because through those measurements of those movements and that habitual pride is what it's all about. Because getting up and out into the heaven bounds when we pass from this body, as a good friend of mine said, death, the last enemy of life is death. That's an Apostle Paul. He said that, and he's a good friend of mine, because I love to read him in the Bible. But a counselor friend of mine, David Russ, gave me that when my dad died. And another friend of mine, I was talking on the phone to him last night, as a matter of fact, and he said, you know, people make such a big deal out of people dying. And what it is that, you know, I feel my father and his spirit, more so now that he has passed. Y'all should see my body language because I'm like holding my hands up to my chest and everything like that, you know. But I feel my father more so now because his spirit of him and his words of wisdom, bridging that wisdom of his knowledge is applied to me. Like his famous thing to me was, you just don't listen. And then he would put that bud in there. He used some very hard reverse psychology on me, which I am so grateful for this day. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying, the depth of the knowledge is the total of God's majestic reign. You know why? Because the depth of the knowledge is bridging the wisdom. Because we're bridging the knowledge. It takes the knowledge to apply to the wisdom each and every day, which makes the majestic reign, R-E-I-N. It makes the reign of God's reign over us. He reigns over us in such a way that the measures of the movements of habitual pride, and there's that word pride again, to wear the pride, we should be humbled. People should be humbled. But the tree, the wisdom tree, the tree of life, God, and the pride of that way is a different way. Now, creatures that God's creations are also various in so many colors of such wonder. There you have the rainbow path, the people, all people. Who all knows that song? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Who knows that song? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Because the colors are such wonder. Now, I had a friend of mine over not too long ago, and I was doing a little intuitive intuition on him, and I asked his question was, what noun or subject could you be? And if you could be that subject matter, what would you be and why? He says, I would be the color of the flesh color crayon, because they took it out of the Crayola crayon box. And I said, did they now? Because I haven't seen any Crayola crayons in so long. And he said, yeah. He said, I don't understand why. And I said, let's call BBS Radio. I'm sure that they would know why. And Seth answered the phone, the engineer. And Seth, being the great person he is, he was going to look up the answers to that. And we asked Don, and I'm sure he asked Doug and Leslie and his wife, but best answer we came up with was that it was, well, my friend that was here at the time, he said it was probably racial. I don't know, because crimson was in there, and you can take a flesh color crayon, which is called flesh, because it was just a creamy color. You can take brown and mix it, and gold, and you could make every color of the world of skin tones with that flesh colored crayon. But it never was flesh colored as a human being, because you had to use a little crimson in it, give it a little rougey color. Okay, so let's get back to this. The creators, the creator creatures, all various in colors of such wonder, changing only each of a kind, shape shifts in its own ways. Hey, you've heard the Native Americans call things shape shifting. You know, they send the piece of the young boy out, kind of like the Jewish people do with when they have bar mitzvah and such, you know. And I did when I was 12 years old. I had to be crowned. I had to be. Listen to me. It was kind of a scary situation. I had to stand in front of a several thousand member church at Preacher Memorial Baptist Church and tell what it meant to be a Christian in a white long gown, and it was made out of drapery material, so it was starched stiff. And my sister carried my crown. It was called GAs, and the boys did RAs. And I told what it meant to be a Christian. And I just remember the first part because my mother wrote the piece because I was too young to do it. But it sounded like I did it, but it really didn't because I couldn't have started it. But it was a glorious thing to be a Christian, to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, Lord, and Master, to become one of His children. And then I went on to say, I'm the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the true creation of the Lord thy God Almighty. And anyway, I'm getting off the subject again, but I'm really not. But as we all know, the shape-shifting in its own ways are the animals, the creatures, like the lizards, the snakes, the mouse, the rat. Dogs can shift a certain way. Cats, you know, the spine. Even a human being can shift a certain way, you know, like a ballerina. Or, you know, I used to, back in the day before I had my hip replaced, I could put my legs totally behind my back, behind my neck. I mean, because I was that flexible, because I worked at it. No, I was a body sculptor until that attack that I had. But anyway, getting back to the subject matter, we all can bend and sway like a tree. Excuse me. Now, one of the things that I want to talk about is that the great and small of the size, it doesn't matter because, you know, like a scorpion, it can sting. Did you know that the scorpion stung Orion on the leg in the mythology and killed him because he told, he was the one that hunted, he was the big hunter in the mythology world. And that's what the 1111 was all about. If people have been wondering what 1111 is the healing of Orion. And, you know, I study everything from this and that and what have you that to me in the meditation world. But Orion is one of the, you know, strongest stars out there. And, you know, I'm kind of confused on that because Orion is known as the brightest light, but also isn't Satan known as the angel of light? And isn't Satan known as the North Star? But didn't Mary and Joseph follow the North Star to get to the Bethlehem? You know, it's just all mixed up in there because it's just all mixed up in there. But the 1111 is where Elanra, Elanra, is the 1111. And anyway, Scorpio bit Orion on the ankle because Orion was killing all the big rabbits all over the world. And he was known as the big hunter. And so the dogs, some kind of dogs or seven dogs, surround Orion in the sky. But he was Zeus's girlfriend and boyfriend. They were boyfriend and girlfriend. And he was so proud of himself. You know, you got to watch that pride. You got to let God be proud, the prideful, and you got to let the trees be prideful. But people have to be very humbled with their pride. But he said, and you got to watch your words, because some people say, oh, I'm as hungry as I could eat a horse or whatever. But back in the day, he said, I feel so great I could kill every creature on the face of this earth. Well, Mother Earth, Mother Nature, took that as a threat, and she had Scorpion go sting him on the ankle and kill him, and thus he died. And thus, that's how, whose energy's coming in on me? Whoa. Well, you're just going to have to listen to this because I've got to finish this story. But anyway, somebody's energy just shifted big daggone time on me. But I'm going to finish this story, so you just listen carefully because this is the mythology way, and this is what I've known about because everybody wonders about that 1111. And so, anyway, Zeus, instead of sending him to Hades, put him at the brightest star in the sky. So if you think about it, everybody's trying to heal the earth. But we are trying to heal the earth. But it's backfiring on everybody because all the people are all upset and look at me and look at me and look at me and what I can do and what I can do and making all these corporations. And the corporations is what's killing this world because they could care less about the people, you know, that get the minimum wage. They're all about that money. And in that money, what's killing the trees because this what's making the money is the paper. Anyway, let me get back to this poem. So as 1 to 7 of the knowing chooses God and goddesses from the stars. Whoa, isn't that something? That's exactly where I am in the poem, and I don't even know what that means. But I do know for a fact that the 1 of the 7 is, for a fact, Taurus. And I don't know anything about astrology. I'm sorry, guys. Just don't study that stuff. Don't even know that stuff. I'm a master of many things, but not a master of the astrology stars, because that has always been told to me not to go there, not, you know, by my family members, and it's just something that I'm not to look at, and I'm just not to do it, and I don't know much about it, but I do love to look at the stars. I just don't know about the, you know, tarot cards or astrology or any stuff like that, but I do know for a fact that Taurus is 1 of the 7, and it is the 7 sisters, and it says those as 1 of 7. The knowing, which is God, chooses from gods of his goddesses from the stars, carefully with the exchanging of the guards, like the wind. Oh, my gosh. Carefully with the exchanging guards, changes like the wind. That's the north, south, east, and west. So that's when the star hits the ground or hits the earth. In turn, that's the Wiccan way. Okay, carrying tree to evolve thus to be. So this is, in other words, balancing the Wiccan way with the Christian way. Or the Native American way in all the ways, trying to balance them out is what I'm gathering from this.
Now, this is saying, needs are bonded, nailing its space to flourish fruitfully with a harvest of growth. Okay? Now, you got to think, someone asked me today, or I read on Facebook, it was my best friend from first grade, Jeff Gosnell's wife. She said, and I didn't answer back because I was in a hurry, she said, would you rather be the hammer or the nail? I got to thinking, man, if I was a nail, then I'd be holding something in, but I would rust. But if I was a hammer, then I could help build things, but I would be destroying things as well. I didn't know how to answer that one. But if you think of this, needs are bonded. Okay, needs are bonded. Nailing its space. Okay, God, Jesus was nailed to the cross. And he was nailed on from a tree. You know, this huge piece of wood made into a cross. So needs are bonded, nailing its space to flourish fruitfully and harvest of growth. Because if God, if Jesus had not died, and if God had not given us an image of a man, because people have to have the mystery solved. That's what we're all about. We're all about solving that mystery. And so God did what he needed to do because we needed to for ourselves see somebody to be proved that there was a God, because people out there worshiping gold and emblems and silver and this and that and what have you. So he sent his own son. But isn't Jesus Christ, aren't we the daughters and the sons of God as well? So does that not make us the sons and daughters of God? Right? Right. So in his image, which is his soul, in which we are, he created Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is stoned, he's martyred, he's beaten, he's brutalized, because he said he was the Son of God. Listen, I'm mocked, I'm everything done to me, and except for because I prayed the prayer, Lord God, remove from me all people, places, and things. Oh, God Almighty, that are not good and healthy for me. Keep them far, far away from me. Even if they're in my life today, remove them now and bring into my life all the things that are good and right for me to do just your work for you and to help this world in all ways, in all relations of all things. And that's my prayer. Because it takes a little of this and a little seasoning of that to make the world go round. Because religion, to me, is a controlled environment. It is controlled substance, and it is saying this way is the only way, and the only right way, and the only controlled way, and you gotta listen to this, and then there's Baptist, and then there's Catholic, and then there's Lutheran, and then there's, oh, I don't even know. I just know that I was raised that way. I was raised the Wiccan way. Up to 13, I went to the shamanic way. I went to a Jewish temple with my girlfriend. I studied it all, you know, in my own way. And then my meditations now are that I just listen. I just actively listen. And I calm my mind and I keep it quiet. And then I listen, and whatever comes to me is what comes to me. Just like me speaking out on this internet and just talking. Now, you know what? Who in their right mind? The guy that was here the other day, Tim, his name is Stone. Isn't that funny? Because I play Stone. But he goes, he listened to a little bit of some of my archives. He goes, who in the world are you talking to? I said, I'm talking to you. He said, man. He said, I just can't believe some of the stuff is coming out of your mouth. He said, where are you reading this from? And I said, my heart. And he goes, well, you know, and then he wanted me to prove Yeah, he wanted me to prove some of my little stuff. He wanted to prove me to prove that God was right here with us. And so I did my, you know, quieting down, which I'm going to do right now because I believe it's time. And then I'm going to read some more of the knowing tree, which is touched by all the elements of the universe hands with a humble abide. That's where we are, in the atmospheric breath, in the clean breath of breath for soul to survive. That's where we are. So let's do a little bit of calming down. Meditation. Breathe in through the nose. All the possible. Breathe out through the mouth. All the negative. Breathe in through the nose from the abdomen. Breathe out of the mouth. All the negative that is all around you inside of you. Breathe in once more from the nose. All the positive. Now let's just float gently and freely. Just relax. Let yourself go freely. Just free as an astronaut. Always remember to keep your umbilical cord attached to you at all times. The golden thread, that thread is connected to God. Each little knot in that golden piece of thread is the times that you have been hurt, or that you have prayed, or that you have felt the need to hold on. It's like a silk cord that evolves up to the heavens rim and is attached to you. Now you can come out of your body and detach, but you're always connected to that cord. Feel yourself float freely. It can be daylight or it can be nighttime. I choose for it to be the moment of the day, where the sun rises and falls, and God majestic finger paints with colors on the heavenly wall. Oh, what brilliance it is out there. How beautiful. I'm just floating so free. Look at me. I can see. I've got my eyes shut. And I'm looking up in my rear view mirror in my forehead, and I'm adjusting it. I'm looking up into the center, which is my third eye. And to remote view, I'm pretending like there is some headlights of stars coming behind my eyes, or the sunshine coming behind my head of my skull into my third eye. And it's beaming a light in. As I do that, I can penetrate outward through my top of my crown chakra, out of my body. But remember that I have that umbilical cord. And I can travel so lightly and free. Because I'm on a vision quest. If I'm out there looking around and I can see my body, which is looking back at me, or looking around also as well, then that's a vision quest. It's doing something that I need to do. If I'm in my body, then that's a wish, a want, or a desire. That's also in dream sleep time. Now I'm going to give myself descriptive adjectives. How do I feel? Descriptive adjectives are feelings. I feel elated. I feel content. I feel solemn. I feel excited. I feel a little hesitant. I feel slumberful. And I feel the need to come back
I want to float a little bit up into the rainbow. Okay. Now, did everybody enjoy that? A little bit of a ride there. Now, make sure that you feel your hands and your feet and your body. Make sure that you feel all of your parts of your body. And look at something in your room and name it. Name it by name. I'm looking at a red door. I see the red door because I'm staring in front of my front door, which on the inside is red. Red to me represents two things. Passion. Because passion is very deep. And what I have for you guys is passion. I have such immense passion for you people out there on www.bbsradio.com, which I have had and understood that there's over 18 million listeners that have been at a given time on this communication airwaves of BBS Radio. Red is the most loving, honorable color and most the depth of love, of passion, that you love someone, you get upset with that person and are pushed to the mat, or with anything in the world, the most anger will evolve on the balancing scale, the opposite end. That's how deep red is. Now I'm going to look over to my left. I'm looking at an extension cord. It's a black one. Is plugged in, and a white one is plugged in. Now that's good for me to know because everything takes a positive and a negative to balance. Isn't that right? Now let's get back to the knowing tree. Okay. Touched by the elements of the universe, hands humble abide. With atmospheric breath for our soul to survive. Just by the sun, tears of the rain, swaying in the wind, roots deep of its longing for its mother, our earthly tent it represents. Isn't that so true? Because our earthly tents are what? The outside bark of a tree. And also, as well, it's what our body wears, right? Because when our bodies die, it goes back to the dust. And, you know, the trees, they wear their bark, and they can be stripped. I remember one time, my horse fair lady, when I had my leg operated on, nobody fed her because she was the older horse. She lived to be 33 years. She didn't have any teeth. And she stripped bark to eat. Isn't that weird? She stripped some bark to eat because nobody fed her while I was gone the grain that she needed, my husband, my ex-husband, or anybody. And my father got mad at me because he said that I was being a crybaby because I cried out for hurting for that horse. It's sad that when I... all my life, and I don't know what that karma is, but anytime I say something towards someone that has hurt me, I'm a crybaby. Don't know what that means yet. Someday I'll know. Guess it doesn't really matter, though. I guess it's the other person's ego that they can't say that they're sorry or that they did something wrong or that they understand. But anyway, that's the way my dad was. He's a hard, hard, hard man, but he said that she survived off the trees. Okay, the trees are bowing, and so much so that they call themselves their saplings, as each of the babies drop to the landing in a place for the food for thought to be. Now the food for thoughtfulness is the homemade in order to establish the willingness for it to grow, for more seeds to birth the tree to feed our mother's earth. Humble and honored in its grandeur is the wisdom tree shelter of upteen hundreds so free in its nature's course, following its strict instructions. Because it does, it, you know, nature follows strict instructions. It doesn't do this all this humanistic bullcrap. Creatures follow their strict instructions. They eat,
everything that they kill. They share it with their families. They don't leave any crap behind. They don't waste. Excuse me. And, you know, I watched the other day with my friend that was here. He went and got some food and left me in the car while he went in to get it. And I guess it took so long that I watched the entire society web. You know, it was a long, long time anyway. I was in the car watching that spider weave its web, and I was in freaking awe because I have never seen a spider weave a web like that. It was a little teeny web, but it was still, it was gorgeous, and the lights were shining on it just right, and I got to watch it. But you could tell it had some misplacements in it. Maybe that's why it wove it so fast, because I understand that every time a spider's web is knocked down, and, you know, intentionally, then it will weave it haphazardly each time, the next time around, and each time it's almost like it gets thrown off balance. I wonder if anybody else has ever heard that, because I sure have. With due respect and standing in the cosmic law of need, though always shedding to survive once Mother Earth has birthed each tree, not by standing in such a crowd to crowd one another. I'm back on the poem now. Each smaller and more needy tree is sapling will bow out gracefully in order to part for the mighty huge tree. In its needy need for food, for one a bigger and stronger tree, and thus evolve into change, sowing the soil to within one another, inside knowing quality to be spread in feeding earth. Tree will turn to what is right, so right, in its dust where once full is sown. Though not as yet, this perspective of humanistic reality to the standing tree still yet sway in its own life strife, the knowing tree is so needy to its needs for being such with wisdom. Here's the bridging wisdom. You see, its need or needing to be needed with such wisdom to be able to give back to the grandest of the trees. That's its need. To give its life back by going back into the root system, into the dust, becoming the dust. And instead of becoming one of the grand trees, it feeds the wisdom tree. Its needs are that deep. It is so beholding of somewhat to some people of humanistic eyes. The wisdom tree will turn what is so rotten into such a whiteness in its dust of once which soul did so. There's your what we were talking about a minute ago. With gladness and gratitude and abundance, as it will have more for each pruning of its feedings once the light. The more the tree is pruned, the more a plant is pruned, just like hair, the more you clip it, the more you clip your nails, the more you wash, the more skin grows. You know, it's just the way life is. The more you clip, the more you prune, the more it grows, the more it grows, the more it grows. How many times have you noticed the more you cut your grass, the faster it grows? Because it just loves to just harvest. It's there to please. So nothing of a tree is wasted. Nothing at all. By ways of replenishing, even in its ripened fruit or dying limbs, becomes ground food for nourishing the mighty root system's vein of life, evolving back into mulch like consistent one speck size, flowing so softly by the raindrops that have turned its liquid mulch into the tree's blood. For sap, the knowing tree. Well, I've enjoyed this hour. Covered quite a bit. And Beth, I told you or asked you if you would please play the Swan Concerto. Do you have that handy, buddy? That's a piece that my uncle wrote
that's a little piece of a very big piece that's a concerto that he has composed, and it's a theme for the Bright Lights Pathfinder show. And I want to be able to get off the air in time for the really sweet lady that comes on next after me that does a unique play with cards and where she's at today, and people pick up along the way of where she's at and relate to her and her ways and means of her life. And just a great lady. With that said, everybody listen up and tune in for the next show. And with that, I'm off the air with my theme song. Thank you, Uncle Ron.
Swan Concerto, written by Ron Nordman, for the Bright Lights Pathfinder show with Kathy Cook, as he captures in jest what the show and the theme is all about.